In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we said earlier today, we celebrate St. Luke the Evangelist, the author of the third gospel, which bears his name, and who was also a physician. And today we recognize and express our gratitude for all the medical personnel and healthcare workers in our community and in our congregation. Our experiences during the coronavirus pandemic has given us a renewed appreciation for the important work that they do and how much we depend on them. You, healthcare workers, have been out there on the front lines, taking risks on our behalf. May God bless you and bless your healing ministries. Luke was neither one of the 12 nor a Jew. He was a Gentile and a companion of St. Paul, and he accompanied Paul on his missionary journeys, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ and founding churches. Perhaps because he was a man of science, Luke wanted to write an accurate, well-researched, detailed history of the life of Jesus. Accuracy, diligence, and objectivity are the hallmarks of good science and good history. Perhaps because he was a physician, Luke especially expressed a lot of compassion for those who were suffering physical illness, and Luke also had a keen interest in Jesus' healing miracles. What was the practice of medicine like back in Jesus' time? It appears there were three types of practitioners. You might remember the TV commercials from a few years ago where a mother dispenses cold medicine to her family and she's known as Dr. Mom. Back then, it was more like Dr. Dad, as the father of the household usually had some folk medicine and home remedies at his disposal, some which were actually effective. And you can bet that mothers also provided a lot of nursing care, as mothers always have throughout history. There were also professionally trained physicians, such as Luke, who were mostly Gentiles. They knew well how to treat broken bones and lacerations. They even did some simple surgeries. Although their theory of disease was based on imbalances of the four humors, which we know isn't really how things are, they still occasionally hit on some potions and plasters made of herbs that helped. Another favorite treatment was bloodletting that was actually practiced into the 19th century. With no licensing board or Office of Professional Medical Conduct to regulate them, doctors who got results kept on practicing, and those who could not produce cures lost their patients and found other work. The final type was the local untrained healers, the proverbial snake oil salesmen, quacks, and charlatans. Amazingly, many people carry on the tradition of fake medicine and phony faith healing even today. Now, to be fair, I have met good, trustworthy Christian people who say that they've been miraculously healed, and I don't doubt that God has the power to do that. Far be it from me to limit God's power. But I think those are the rare exceptions to God's established order, and usually he heals through less dramatic means. But so many frauds existed in Jesus' day that the evangelist would record that Jesus did miracles actually adds evidence to the fact that he was the Son of God. How's that? People who preached and wrote about Christ, like Luke, knew that Jesus' credibility would be totally destroyed if it could be shown that he was faking healings. If he was caught manufacturing miracles, no one would have believed him about anything. It was only because they knew for certain that Jesus was a genuine healer, someone who could be proven to be authentic, who was curing people beyond the shadow of a doubt. Only then would they proclaim Jesus as a healer with no fear of impeachment. Jesus healing the blind, the deaf, and the lame were like sermons acted out in real life, telling us about God's love for us and God's care for us. Of course, medicine is very different today than it was back in Jesus' day. Just think of all of the many advances in medical science in the past 100 years or so. Antibiotics, transfusions, transplants, bypasses, ultrasound, and so much more. As Christians, we believe that all healing ultimately comes from God. In his time and in his way, God is revealing the mysteries of his universe to us. God blesses us with advances in medical science. Moreover, God gives us modern-day healers, medical personnel, people of compassion and knowledge. It is through them that God works in our lives to bring us health and healing. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent out the first missionaries with orders to heal the sick so they would know that God's kingdom had come near to them. When I talk with young people about their futures, I always suggest that they consider a career in the medical fields for 3 reasons. For one, with baby boomers like me getting older, there are lots of job opportunities and job security. 2, it is extremely emotionally and spiritually rewarding to know that you are helping others and making a major impact on their lives for the better in a concrete way. And 3, the healing arts glorify God and witness to his love and power. They are a testimony to Christ. Medicine is a type of ministry. At least twice in my life, I was very close to dying. I heard the doctor say so. And both times, by God's grace, they used all of their skill and saved my earthly life. Having come back from the brink of physical death certainly got me to thinking and praying both about my temporal life and my eternal life. As medical professionals, you are touching and healing both bodies and souls. Not only your technical skills, but your compassion, your sensitivity, your caring, they are all helping to heal people in ways that are intangible, but no less real. There's a lot of conversation these days about science and faith, about the mind and body connection. Some research studies have shown that attending church is healthy. Regular churchgoers have lower blood pressure, report less stress, have less surgeries and better immune systems, and generally live longer. Some studies have even shown that people were being prayed for, even if they didn't know that they were being prayed for, had better outcomes from their surgeries. Those people had less complications and quicker healing times. Well, it's tempting to gloat and say, well, we've been saying that for years. We're glad you're finally catching up, science. But correlation doesn't equal causation. And some people dispute those studies and say that perhaps it's just the social interaction, like what happens in church, that creates those effects. And to those critics, I would say, well, going to church can't hurt. But more seriously, I want to say that science and faith are not in conflict as some people imagine them to be. Did you know that many universities were started by Christians and Christian denominations, including Harvard and a lot of the other Ivy League schools. I went to the Gettysburg Seminary, and there was also a Gettysburg College. Both were founded before the famous battle there. But which came first, the seminary or the college? The seminary wanted the college to give candidates for the ministry a better education in arts and sciences so that they could better understand theology. So it was the seminary that spun off the college. All truth, scientific truth, and theological truth is God's truth. Our one God is Lord of all. As mankind matures, God is unfolding the secrets of his cosmos to us. In a world coming of age, we have the power in our hands both to hurt and to heal. There are nuclear weapons and there is nuclear medicine. There are synthetic antibiotics and there are biologically engineered superbugs. The Hippocratic Oath says, do no harm. Our Christian faith tells us to love others and to heal and care for them as we are able. Science and faith can work for the common good together. In their pain and desperation, some people have tried to deny the harshness of reality by saying that life is just an illusion, that pain is not real, that even death is not real. Denial doesn't work. Shakespeare said there was never a philosopher who could endure a toothache. Suffering always brings us back to what is relevant and true. And it is true that Jesus was God in human form. He had a body like ours and suffered all the traumas and pains that we do, like the beatings that he took on the way to the cross. They really hurt. And he refused the drug wine offered him before the crucifixion because he wanted to bear the full burden of our sin. He really died on the cross. He just didn't swoon or play dead. God the Son died there for us. That says to us that our bodies are important, so important that God burdened himself by taking one on. We humans are integrated units of body, soul, and spirit. Caring for the physical needs of others is godly work. After all, God cares about our bodies. He created them, and Jesus and his followers healed them. And after we die, God will raise us up to everlasting life, not just our souls, but us in entirety, with glorious resurrection bodies. I think one of the best things to happen in medicine in the last 40 years or so is the hospice movement. Every family I have worked with in the hospice situation, and there have been many, have been pleased with their hospice experience. Some people might think of death as some sort of defeat, and we certainly don't deny the pain and the loss that death brings. But sometimes a cure is not to be had, and it's just time for us to go home and be with Jesus. A life well lived and well ended in faith is a victory. I must say that I have felt most affirmed in my ministry when I have helped the Christian soul pass over to the other side. We never hasten death, but we can make dying people and their families comfortable and help make their passing peaceful and dignified. We wrap them in the prayer and the presence of the church and those they love. For us, death is the gate to eternal life opened for us by Christ. In the meanwhile, we thank God for the people that he has sent into our lives, the medical professionals, the healthcare workers, who share with us the healing and wellness that God intends for his people. And we thank God for the blessings of health he gives us through them. Amen.